I just dropped everyone on my roster.
What?
Do you think this was a mistake?
No. You know what? There was a lot of disappointing players last night. I think it's time to cut bait on just, your team.
I drafted Brooke Lopez, Victor Oladipo, Kyle Lowry, Nikola Jokic. All of them are done.
Yeah.
And I'm picking up Justin Hamilton.
Whew.
Welcome to the Fantasy Basketball Today podcast. I'm Chris Towers here with Joe Polito.
Back again.
On a Thursday. We're back. 2 days in a row.
We just had to. There was so much action.
That was a fun night of NBA basketball.
I was watching it. I wish I could be talking about it right now.
I don't know if it's just because I'm so starved for basketball or if it was like a legitimately fun basketball night.
No, a lot of statsy things were happening. Yeah. I think especially for fantasy, it was like very... Some jarring things happened.
I had... what games did you watch last night, mostly?
I was working, so...
Yeah.
National.
Okay. You know,
the big boys and...
Yeah, I watched a lot of Philadelphia.
Caught the Heat a little bit.
Watched a lot of Philadelphia, Oklahoma City. Watched a lot of the Heat, Orlando.
Yep.
Watched a lot of the New Orleans game. Because,
Got to check in on a guy who's Wilt Chamberlaining.
Anthony Davis had himself a game yesterday. I mean, we spent this whole offseason talking about how Karl Anthony Towns was the future of the NBA and how Karl Anthony Towns is the best and all this stuff.
He got drafted ahead of Davis, I would say, for the most part.
I would guess in almost every league. I know we did one draft where I think Anthony Davis went one spot ahead of him. We did our Trust the Process draft with some people from around
definitely
CBS.
In the mock drafts because people wanted to kind of get ahead of the trend of
but in that draft I know Anthony Davis went one spot ahead of Towns and after one night looks like the right decision.
Yeah,
because Anthony Davis had 50 points, 16 rebounds, 5 assists, 7 steals, 4 blocks. Those are numbers that nobody has ever done.
He could have gotten more assists.
He could have gotten one more block.
Yeah.
And the Pelicans lost. That's the most tragic part. Who's the second best player that played for the Pelicans last night?
I mean, second most productive or
no, no,
best?
The second best NBA basketball player appeared
Tim
in the
Frazier?
Game. Lance Maybe. Stevenson?
Peak Lance, yeah.
Terrence Jones? That team, I think we might have underestimated how bad that team's going to be.
Yeah, they're missing their key components.
Yeah, they're missing probably their second and third best players in Jrue Holiday and Tyreke Evans. Don't know how long they're going to be out. But man, they just fed Anthony Davis. And then the Pelicans were double or the Nuggets were bringing the double team. He was passing out of it really well. He looked really good.
Yeah,
it's a nice reminder that this guy could be the number one player in fantasy.
I think he was a little fatigued with how little he was being talked about. And, when you're that good, all it takes is one of these games to get back on the radar.
If he can just manage to play 75 games, I think he's locked for
41 minutes. I hope they're not planning to do that every
night. Don't play him 40 minutes every night.
You're right.
Let's dial it back a little. But it was a close game, so I get it. DeMar DeRozan, another guy that nobody's ever excited to draft, and all he does is goes out on opening night and drops 40 points on
2-point buckets.
He's now that Kobe's not in the league, DeMar DeRozan's Kobe.
Yeah.
40 points on 27 shots. He's had a good game.
I was watching him like, ooh, let's maybe do something for social if he gets up to 50, and then he didn't. He just kind of got stuck at 40. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
James Harden had himself a game. That was everything I hoped it could be. The Rockets are just going to be a beautiful mess.
Yeah.
They are going to... they lost to the Lakers, which isn't a good sign, 120-116. But
Lakers, kind of look like a real team. I mean, Rockets looked bad.
Yeah, Rockets defense might have something to do with it.
Yeah, but I mean, they dictated the pace. So it was their fault they allowed the Lakers to play that way.
Yeah, it was. But James Harden, 14 assists in the first half, 17 total. So only 3 in the second half. Come on, James.
Yeah.
Finished with 34 points, 8 rebounds, 17 assists. I mean, he really might average 30 and 10 this season.
Yeah, and I mean, 10 seems low after last night because he's the only one getting assists
in the lineup. He's below Mike D'Antoni's goal right now.
Mike D'Antoni wants him to average 30 assists
Mike
a game.
D'Antoni said he wants him to double his assists from last season, and he averaged 7.5. So, come on, James. Or no, he's above it. Sorry. He wants him to average 15 assists per game. He got 17. I got confused. So that's good.
Still ridiculous.
I'm one night in. I know it's one night. But I'm feeling good about my James Harden over Russell Westbrook.
Especially
Roto.
Because when you were looking at what Russell Westbrook was dealing with.
I mean, he was good. Russell Westbrook was really good. Almost had a triple-double.
It kind of reminds me, so I would...
It's kind of stupid that, like, Russell Westbrook had, like, 31...
It was pedestrian.
9 and 11, and I didn't even include him in the rundown.
It wasn't...
Surprising. It was just a Russell Westbrook
game. I mean, if he didn't get a triple-double, we were going to be kind of disappointed. But, like, when I play with Russell Westbrook in 2K and just put him on a crappy team, like, I'm amazed at how difficult it is, because it's like... He's really good, but he's not like...
Yeah.
I don't know, James Harden can always be a threat from wherever he is. You know, Westbrook kind of has to back you down, get to his spot to be like... He was kind of doing this like Carmelo impression last night when things were getting dire. So it'll be interesting to see how he assembles that kind of line every night.
So we've got one night of real NBA basketball. I mean, Tuesday happened, but it was only three games.
This was the full
This
Monty.
Was the big night. We've had pretty much everyone that we've seen play now. I think the Bulls and Hawks.
Clippers.
Bulls, Hawks, Clippers, and someone else hasn't played yet. So we'll see all those teams tonight. But... What we want to do is take all the big performances. We just had to get a podcast out here for you. We want to take all the big performances, all the disappointments from last night, and just kind of intentionally overreact to them. Let's, you know, because every once in a while we do have these things. My general theory is that you're probably better off taking the first week or so of the season and just not looking at anything that happens.
Yeah, just set your lineup, walk
just
away,
say,
and
walk
review,
away.
It, review it on the following weekend.
Because there's so much, like, if Justin Hamilton scores 19 points in a game in February, we're like, oh, Justin Hamilton scored 19 points. That's weird. I guess Brooke Lopez wasn't feeling well. But because it's on
the
first
thing
game,
we see, we're just like, ah, the world's ending.
Yeah, there's nothing else. And it's so. But I think we're going to maybe intentionally overreact because every once in a while you do have these things that grow from the small sample size into something bigger. So let's take a look. We're going to look at the players who had, I would say, surprisingly good games in the first game. We'll start with them and talk about whether they're legit or whether they're a flash in the pan. We're going to assign one to each guy here first, as always. I always forget to do this earlier in the show.
What's that?
If you want to contact the show, fantasybasketball@cbsi.com is the way to do that. Follow Joe and I on Twitter. I'm at CTowerCBS. He's at JoePo89. As always, leave a rating, a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to the podcast, and that always helps. So let's move on to the players who had surprisingly big games, and I think we have to start off with the process himself.
The process
Joel Embiid,
has arrived.
20 points, 7 rebounds, 2 blocks in 22 minutes. Only shot 6 of 16 from the field. Was this a legit performance, or is he a flash in the pan?
I think for fantasy, this is a little flash in the pan. I think there was adrenaline. The crowd was awesome in Philly.
Yeah.
They were really... And every time he got the ball, they were like... you know,
they started chanting, trust the process.
Encouraging him to shoot. Like, I don't even think he passed the ball. I think he just kind of got tunnel vision, started jab-stepping, and then was like just... that team, you don't necessarily have to pass the ball.
Including the preseason and his season opener. He has 22 turnovers and 0 assists.
So when you said...
Eat your heart out, Hassan Whiteside.
Exactly. If he gets the minutes, he could have a Hassan Whiteside, like, impact in fantasy. That's still legit. Obviously, the talent's there. He scored a lot in pretty few amount of minutes, but, you know...
He's not going to have... I think he had a 49% usage rate.
Yeah. That's what I'm wondering is, like, if they're going to let every game be the Joel Embiid show, or if this was just kind of a fun party for the fans.
I would guess a little more of the latter. Yeah. They'll probably resemble more of a real basketball team moving forward. I kind of agree with you. A little flash in the panty. He's not going to average a point per minute. He's not going to score 34 points per 36, although that's pretty much what he did in the preseason. I do wonder if they know he's limited to 20 minutes per game. Yeah, maybe they just do. You know, they'll figure it out the other 24 minutes, and they'll just have him, run the show.
You're right. It could go either way. Like, they play him these limited minutes and just say, it's all you.
Do
like,
whatever you
want. Just kind of do your thing, because obviously you're huge and unblockable, so it's not like they're low-percentage shots or anything. But on the other hand, you do want him to sort of develop into a kind of system player, leader, defensive stalwart. Yeah. But, I mean, he was getting up and down the floor pretty nicely. He was challenging guys at the rim.
You could see he was a little gassed at certain points, and you can definitely see that, like, the feel for the game isn't quite there. He's got these really impressive post moves, and the footwork is really good, but you can see it's kind of almost, like, it looks like he's been playing against a chair for the last 2 years, which is basically what it is. So, like, you'll see he does this, like, counter where he, like, you know, he posts up, moves, shimmies with his right shoulder, and then moves immediately back to the left, even though, like, the defender didn't go for
it. He's doing it because he's supposed to.
But yeah, it's rote.
It doesn't have a functional...
Yeah, he's not playing with feel yet.
But then again, when you're 7'2", it doesn't really matter. Yeah, once you turn around, there's no one in your face.
There was still the one, I think he's posted up on the left block. Steven Adams doesn't go for the fake over the left shoulder, but he does the up and under him on the right foot and still gets it anyway.
I really wish you guys could see Chris's footwork.
I'm doing it all.
I would sell high on him. I mean, I'm not trying to like poo-poo what he did. It was so much fun, and it's awesome to see him playing. But you know, when you're looking at a guy who's on a minutes limit, might not play back to back. You know,
the hype and excitement might actually outstrip what he does.
Yeah, yeah.
What he's actually capable of doing.
But, you know, on a permanent basis, very impressive.
Yes. Jonas Valanciunas. This is, as a Jonas truther, this was
beautiful.
Long
time coming for you.
32 points, 11 rebounds, 1 assist in 35 minutes last night. Legit or flash in the pan?
I think right now it's pretty legit because they, you know, they're playing smaller, which we talked about, you know, in the preview pod for them. If they can play the small ball, that helps him a lot because the plotting center doesn't have a great place in today's league, but Toronto can play a sort of traditional style and get him the touches he needs to do this kind of thing. He's obviously skilled enough, so as long as they're clearing out space for him, I like this. I mean, 32 is a lot, but you know, he can score above 20 points and grab double-digit boards on any given night. I think that's pretty legit.
His career high, I'm pretty sure, is right around 13, 14 points per game. 12.8 last season. Like, he's not going to average 32 points a game.
No, but I mean, getting closer to 20 is a big deal.
It's doable.
Yeah.
And I don't know. He's extremely skilled. He's a great free throw shooter. He went 12 for 14 from the line yesterday. Probably a little bit of a flash in the pan for me, but I definitely think we can see an improved Jonas Valanciunas.
Yeah, I just think if it's ever going to happen with this guy, it's right now. He's coming off tons of confidence from the playoff run, and you know, they've got the space down low for him to operate.
Another young big man, even younger. This guy was supposed to be a freaking project coming out of college. Miles Turner opens up the season with 30 points, 16 rebounds, an assist, 2 steals, 4 blocks. He hit a clutch 3-pointer, I think at the end of regulation, played 37 minutes.
A lot of fun.
Legit or flash in the pan?
I think the talent is legit. For fantasy, though, I would probably lean more towards flash in the pan. I mean, that team seems to have their guys, and obviously he's one of them for the future. Like you said, you thought he was going to be more of a project. Clearly, he's ready to go right now, but I think once the pecking order sort of evens out there, I would see his numbers drop. But, I mean, I don't know. I think you could kind of go either way on this one because this is someone who you were drafting pretty highly for the upside.
Definitely a breakout. That's the big thing, is that I think it's legit in that it
shows you he can do it.
It confirms our suspicions that this guy can be special. You know, we talk about Kristaps Porzingis and Karl-Anthony Towns being kind of the future of big men in the NBA. Well, Miles Turner can be kind of the same thing. He's a stretch five who can protect the rim.
Yeah, I will say he probably benefited from, you know, some slower front court defenders on Dallas. And,
sure, he was going against Andrew Bogut and Dirk Nowitzki.
Exactly, so he's a matchup issue for the old school centers. Maybe when he plays someone more of his making, he comes to earth a little bit. But hey, you drafted him for the upside, and he's showing it, so I wouldn't be worried about it.
Speaking of old and slow, Deron Williams kind of turned back the clock last night. Had 25 points, 3 boards, 7 assists.
I'm going to guess his whole lower body is on ice today.
Yeah, probably. Played 40 minutes. Legit or flash in the pan?
I mean, he had 7 assists. I'd say it's legit. The scoring, maybe not so much, but he's going to get you the assists you need, and he was important for them last year. So as a value point guard, I think it's legit.
That's the biggest thing for me, is that he's probably someone that, you know, outperformed Derrick Rose in the opener, but kind of drafting that similar, probably like 90 to 110 range in your draft. Nobody's really ever excited to take Deron Williams, and you know, he might be, he was okay-ish for fantasy last season. I think he can be okay-ish again this season.
And when you look at their roster, they don't have a lot of guys who can create for others. He seems pretty much like the only one, right?
Yeah.
Like, other guys getting the ball. They're kind of doing what they do to get the ball in the bucket. And he's looking for everybody else. I think that's an important role for him.
An old school big man style player who is very young, Yusuf Nurkić. 23 points.
Old usage Nurkić.
9 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 block, played 26 minutes. Didn't play much in the fourth quarter. The Pelicans went small. He's not an ideal matchup for Anthony Davis, but really productive coming off of a great preseason where he averaged 13 and 10 in about 20 minutes. Flash in the pan, or is this legit for Yusuf Nurkić?
I feel like on any given night it can be this or nothing with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I would say flash in the pan on the whole because I feel like there's just too much going on there. They got the other young guy
Nikola Jokic
to try and work into the mix. They got a lot of other...
They started them together, but they combined to play 47 minutes.
Just for their touches, I guess. He played a bad team. I don't know. I would be hard-pressed to call this legit. I drafted him pretty good amount late. So, you know, it's not like you invested a ton in this guy.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't expect this a whole lot because it was just in so few minutes. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing is that I know they're playing him and Jokic together. I don't know how sustainable that is. I still think Jokic is the better player. We'll talk about him a little later. But yeah, I have trouble seeing Nurkić.
Could he do this again? 26 minutes?
Yeah.
Like that's
he could. He definitely could. I just wouldn't expect anything close to this. Obviously. Yeah, I don't know. What about Harrison Barnes? Actually looking like an NBA player after a really bad preseason. 19 points, 9 rebounds in 35 minutes. Hit 3 three-pointers, including the game-tying three-pointer to send it into overtime. What do you think about Harrison Barnes?
This is legit. He got a bad rap because he was the worst player on the best team ever, you know, give or take. And, you know, he got paid a lot, which a lot of guys did.
Yep.
It was just the nature of the beast. I think this is legit. He's an above average rebounder, I'd say, for his position. Mm-hmm. He's capable of hitting threes. You know, he's going to score because he has to, because that's what he's paid to do. He's not going to do anything else.
Yeah.
It really seems so. This seems legit to me.
I think this is like 2 more than I would expect. Like I would expect like 17 and 7.
Yeah.
So, you know, a night of 19 and 9. It's nice to see him show up after that awful preseason where he shot like 23%. But not really a huge concern there. Julius Randle might be the product of a really good matchup.
That's
but he had 18-7, 6 assists, was moving the ball, was taking the ball up court at times, was playing kind of... The Lakers are weird. Luke Walton doesn't seem to want to play Jordan Clarkson as the backup point guard. They were kind of using Brandon Ingram at point guard with the second unit. Julius Randle was carrying the ball up the floor.
It's sort of a committee of ball handling. I'm going to go flash in the pan on this one just because the pace was too much for you to really take anything concrete from this game, I think.
And
whenever I watch him play, like I think the talent's there, but the way his face-up style is so reckless. Like sometimes the ball's going in on accident. Sometimes he's getting fouls when I swear he's like really he's really charging. Like,
yeah,
things like that just kind of scare me with him. You know, the assists are what I think could really be the key to his value because that's something that you know you don't often get out of a player from his position. We talked about him like a poor man's Draymond Green, so that's pretty cool to see. But
that was the thing that was nice to see for me was him. You know, making plays out of the pick and roll as the ball handler. The pace actually wasn't that fast in that game, apparently.
Well,
they only played 100 possessions.
It's more so the lack of defense and just kind of...
Yeah, they scored 119 per 100 possessions.
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers were clicking. It was loud in there. It was a lot of fun. I hope they can play like that every night, but I would bet against that.
Justice Winslow, 15... 8 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, 2 blocks. Justice Winslow finally doing stuff. Is that legit or is it a flash in the pan?
I would call this more legit. Little bit of homerism coming out
because
I'm a Heat fan.
Yeah,
this is the team that I watch more than not. But hey, this is You drafted Winslow for the upside. It seemed what he did seemed very sustainable. Like he's going to get assists just kind of out of the nature of their offense. They'll put him at the top and kind of run Tyler Johnson off a off ball screen for a
catch. He doesn't have to do a ton for it.
But he had one play where he hit Johnson on a backdoor for a nice dunk where he really actually showed some court vision. Mm-hmm. So again, it's very similar to Randall. Actually, they're kind of in similar, you know, roles in the league right now, where they're going to be asked to handle, even though they're a larger guy. I would say it's legit.
He reminds me a little bit of like an older Andre Iguodala in the way he plays.
Yeah, well, I can see that. Older?
Yeah, like the older version of Andre Iguodala, gotcha. Not like the Philadelphia.
Just say like he's like a 45-year-old.
Yeah, Iguodala? No, not like the 76ers version who was averaging like 20 points a game, right. But like the
younger.
Yeah, a younger version of the old Andre Iguodala. Yeah.
Got it.
Sergio Rodriguez, Joe.
Yeah,
pat yourself on the back. I think you drafted Sergio Rodriguez in just about every league.
Everywhere I could. He's
he looked good.
Yeah, I scouted him in Spain when I was there on vacation. No, I've seen him play a lot, and he just kind of he knows what to do, and that's why I figured he would break him away from the pack of the Sixers. We've been clamoring for them to have anyone over the age of like 22 on the team, just to kind of corral.
He is almost 30.
Yeah, to corral.
He's the old guy in the room.
But he plays a sustainable game because he's kind of tall, so like he doesn't have to, you know, he doesn't have to rely on quickness and things like that. He's smart. He's good at passing.
Nine assists, no turnovers yesterday. There were a couple where like it was kind of an errant pass. It bounced off someone's hands. I think they got the turnover. No, maybe a little home cooking.
The whole Sixers game in general is very fluky. I think he's going to separate himself from McConnell.
Like, it's not surprising that Sergio Rodriguez, veteran of the NBA, veteran of international ball, veteran of the Olympics, has played in probably three or four Olympics at this point. Not surprising that he was able to provide a steady hand for this 76ers team. And, you know, Jared Bayless might not play for the first three or four weeks of the season.
Yeah, it's not looking good for his. I would say, you know,
Sergio Rodriguez
is basically
36%
the must add of the first game so far, you know?
I would say you look at like the roster trends, I would say someone like Ty Lawson may be a little ahead of him because you know he's going to play 30 to 40 minutes per game for at least the first couple of weeks.
See, that's the thing with Rodriguez. I think he can kind of parlay this into a season long.
Yeah, definitely. Gig.
Because the rest of the players he's asked to sort of lead kind of need his, you know, he's still a little crazy, which I kind of like about him. But they're all waiting in the wings to receive the ball from someone who knows what they're doing. McConnell's a passing expert. It's not like he's bad at it.
But he just doesn't.
He's smaller. He can't score one on one.
He doesn't do anything else.
Right.
Like that was the thing.
He's like a short Kendall Marshall.
Rodriguez was canning his open jumpers. He was getting into the lane a little bit. I think he's just the better player of the two. Kind of the same situation in New Orleans with Tim Frazier, who had 15 points, 5 rebounds, 11 assists, 2 steals, played 37 minutes. He played really well late in the season for the Pelicans. He was really valuable once he, you know, this is a guy I think who was cut twice last season. But when he got to New Orleans, he played well. Jrue Holiday out indefinitely. Tyreke Evans out until December. I think Tim Frazier's someone that needs to be owned. He is 73% owned right now, and that's probably too low.
Yeah, the Pelicans, like you said, it's hard to see. They look pretty volatile. Yeah, I don't know if you're going to know what to expect from there.
But they don't have another point guard.
That's what I was going to say. I think you can expect close to double-digit assists from Frazier right now because they don't have anyone else, and that's kind of his MO at this point. But if you're looking at Frazier, Rodriguez, Lawson on the waiver wire, I think it kind of depends on what else you got going on at point guard. Mm-hmm. Like if you want to bet on a season long, I would say Rodriguez is a little safer. If you just need someone this week because you had Darren Collison, obviously Lawson's the play.
But
Frazier's kind of in between. He could carve out a spot for himself just if he keeps putting out numbers like this.
Appeared in 16 games with the Pelicans last season. A lot of that was after Jrue Holiday. Jrue Holiday got hit in the face, had an orbital bone fracture, and was out for the season. He averaged 13 points, 7.5 assists, only 2.4 turnovers. You know, throwing lobs to Anthony Davis, that's a pretty good job.
Yeah.
You know, that there's good job security there.
What's Tyreke Evans' deal? Is he
recovering from knee surgery?
So he's out like the back half of the season.
Out until December, at least.
Yeah,
I think he just started running.
And with just the uncertainty of Holiday's situation, I think Frazier has a nice value right now. So I'd say
it wouldn't surprise me if they started the two of them together when Holiday's back.
We've gotten away from our
legit or flash in the pan.
I'm gonna say Rodriguez is legit. Frazier is legit for now because the situation dictates that he has to be. But
Roy Hibbert looked like an NBA player last night. This is
I'll defer to you. I didn't see him play, and that the eye test would be big for me on this.
This was one where I'm feeling okay. I mentioned Roy Hibbert as a sleeper a couple times.
Heath laughed at you.
I actually had Roy Hibbert in a FanDuel lineup last night for $3,500. He provided 10 times value. I killed it. Roy Hibbert, 17 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 5 blocks.
Good free throw shooter.
That's the best Roy Hibbert game in like 3 years.
Well, that's what's weird too, is like you knew he was disappointing for fantasy because when he sort of broke out in real basketball, then the next year he like kind of didn't do anything statistically. But you look at him, his negative perception kind of works in your favor because nobody else is targeting him, especially in daily. I mean, his price is going to be super low. Yeah. They got a lot of injuries down low, and
Cody Zeller came off the bench and played well, but Hibbert got the start. Kaminsky's out for the start of the season. Hibbert 32% own, and the thing that I like about him is that Steve Clifford's a really good coach, and he got a really good defense out of a big plotting center in Al Jefferson.
He makes the most of what he's given, that's for sure.
And you've got long athletic defenders in Kemba Walker, Nicholas Batum, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. They're going to be able to they're not going to shut every opposing defender or player down, but they'll be able to kind of funnel them into Hibbert in really productive ways for Hibbert to kind of swat their shots away. And we saw yesterday 5 blocks. Look, I'm not saying he's a must-add.
No, but he's in a great spot to be useful.
In Roto, blocks are so valuable that, I think Roy Hibbert's someone that you want to go out and get.
Yeah.
I would certainly rather have him than the next guy, Timofey Mozgov.
I'm not going to call him legit just yet, but he's so...
Legish? Legit-ish?
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah, look, he'll probably go out for 5 points, 2 rebounds, and no blocks in the next game.
That's the thing, is I've seen so many totally empty Hibbert lines that it's just this is a little surprising.
Yeah, legit in as much as he's so low-owned that I'm taking a flyer on
right.
him. Timofey Mozgov, 12 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 22 minutes... Don't think we have to spend much time on him, but do you think there's upside with Mozgov?
I do. I think he looked good.
Yeah,
I mean,
he definitely did.
He didn't. The numbers don't necessarily show it, but the Lakers played a lot of guys. That's kind of what I noticed about their team is they went deep. Seems like they're going to go like with a hot hand kind of approach. So
they played a lot of Tarik Black.
Yeah,
some Larry Nance at center.
But if Mozgov can kind of get some chemistry, that could be good for him because then maybe he just is always looking to score at the rim every time he gets it, always looking to block shots and. On weak side defense, would have liked to seen him block a shot last night, but the Rockets seem like a team that's hard to block. So
he is 73% owned, which feels a little high to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I would rather speculate maybe on Hibbert than him.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the legish works there, just because Hibbert's in a better situation.
Because
I don't really know what the Lakers are going to look like in a month or two.
I would just say I think Hibbert has a lot more upside.
Yeah, Mozgov. You're hoping for blocks. You're hoping for double-figure points, maybe.
Michael Kidd-Gilchrist had a really big game. It was nice to see after he played, 5 games last season. Showed a little bit of a spark in those 5 games, but, it's 5 games. But he scored 23 points, 14 rebounds, had a steal and a block. It was nice to see him do some production on the defensive end. 35 minutes. What do you think of MKG?
I mean, this guy's legit if he can stay healthy. I think that's always been the case. And the more Roy Hibbert plays, the better for him because he's a great rebounding wing.
Yeah,
and Hibbert
Roy Hibbert's
is not a good rebounder. So he's going to gobble those up as long as they keep that formula that they had last night. I think you're pretty happy to keep starting Kidd-Gilchrist, especially where do you think he got drafted? Mid-rounds, maybe?
Late rounds.
Yeah, so I think it's legit as long as he's on the court.
All right, and our last one, Justin Hamilton.
Oh, Heat legend.
Heat legend, Justin Hamilton.
Jay Ham.
I remember there was an NBA promo 3 years ago where they were showing KG, and it was KG against some big white dude. And I was who is that? Who's Justin Hamilton?
Jay Ham will be that guy to get dunked on by KD in the
promo.
Is he
Jorts? No, that's Josh Harrelson.
Yeah, it's totally different.
Different guy. Justin Hamilton, 19 points.
Similar player, I guess, but yeah.
10 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 three-pointers. Played well in the preseason. Played 25 minutes for the Nets last night. Legit or flash in the pan?
Yeah, I'm going to have to say flash in the pan.
I think that's the right way to go.
The best player on his team only played 21 minutes, yeah, which we'll get to next. But, hey, I mean, guy can shoot, and he will shoot. He's got a pretty quick release for a big guy.
We've said it a few times. If you've got a pulse on this Nets team, they're kind of like the 76ers.
Yeah. If you live in Brooklyn, you got inside info, play it.
Yeah.
But I would say deep roto league maybe for Hamilton, yeah, just if you need three-pointers somehow. But
if you're in a roto league and you've got Brook Lopez, maybe like a handcuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that makes sense because he's large. He's a tall man. He'll play in his stead.
He is a tall man. All right, let's fire up the panic-o-meter.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what the... Let's calibrate it. What do you say? 0 to 5. 0 is I'm not panicking. 5 is I'm dropping.
Yeah, I'd say.
All right, let's do it. Brook Lopez.
What about trading? I think trading's probably between that and dropping.
Yeah, 4 is panic trading. 5 is dropping.
Okay.
Brook Lopez, 7 points, 5 rebounds in 21 minutes, was benched.
Drop him, pick up Justin Hamilton.
Luis Scola started the second half for the Nets. I didn't realize Trevor Booker was starting for the Nets at power forward. That's interesting. Brook Lopez, where are you on the panic-o-meter with Brook Lopez? Did not play well.
He didn't look good, and... You know, I would say I'm not that worried because I'm confident in his skill level.
Yeah.
And hopefully, if they don't plan on using him, they're going to trade him and, you know, embrace the tank even more so. But, you know, the fact that he didn't look good, you know, and I don't think there's probably a gigantic market for him. I think everybody's sort of set at center. And maybe OKC wants to take a look at him or something. But I'd say like 2.5. I mean, getting closer to trade territory, I guess. There's not a lot of value there if you trade him right now. But... if this is a trend where he's not going to see minutes or he's going to, you know, Scola's going to take his minutes in the second half, that's pretty...
I'm a zero. I have zero worry about Brook Lopez. I just think he's so clearly the best player on this team that it would be asinine for them to make this a habit. It's not a good start, but it's one game, you know.
Yeah, was there any explanation for why he just was playing poorly so they wanted to
Nothing that
up?
I saw...
I mean, I'm reading this thing that says we want to take the long-term approach with him and just slowly increase
maybe
his minutes.
It looks like they are limiting his minutes. Yep.
Pitch count is
what we're trying to do with Brook is take the long-term approach to just build him up as the season goes on and increase his minutes. We have a plan in place. It's learning the system. It's looking at a long-term approach to how we're going to build him up in terms of minutes as the season goes on. He's got some miles on it.
Mm.
Lopez said the comparison of a pitch count is fair. Yeah, I'm not worried.
Not raising it to a 1, maybe?
Maybe a 1.
Okay.
I didn't realize that was even a concern for him coming into the season. I don't think they had really mentioned that.
Are you more worried about him or Pau Gasol?
Pau, only because I was more worried about him coming into the season.
Makes sense.
Victor Oladipo played like... bad things.
Like
crud.
A hustling.
Bad stuff.
High energy.
He was bad yesterday.
Do less.
10 Victor. Points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, no steals, 1 block.
I think I saw an air ball in there.
Oh, yeah. I think he had a couple
air balls.
I think he airballed like a 3-pointer late in the game. I think he airballed a layup at one point. Played 26 minutes, which was surprising because he was not in foul trouble. Panic-o-meter for Victor Oladipo, everyone's favorite breakout candidate.
I'm gonna go 1. I think it was discouraging. I think the most discouraging thing is that it might, you know, move towards a thing where they bring him off the bench and to like kind of be the the B-rate Westbrook when Westbrook goes out,
and then
sort of mix him back in when Westbrook returns, which I think might make sense because it kind of seemed like he didn't know what to do on offense while Westbrook had the ball. So and he's not. The shooting touch doesn't seem to be there, according to last night.
Only one game.
Right.
I'm about a 1, too.
Yeah.
I was skeptical of the Victor Oladipo as a late second round, early third round value hype anyway. But I'm going to try not to let confirmation bias play too big a part. He gets a bad game.
Yeah.
You're allowed a bad game, Vic.
And this is a different team. Like, Westbrook has played off the ball before, but I think there's going to be a learning curve for him, too, where Oladipo has some point guard-ish capabilities.
Yeah.
And if they want to...
He's kind of like a B-minus Westbrook.
Yeah. And if they want to... You know, Brandon Knight-esque. Just if they want to unlock his full potential for that lineup, they're going to have to let him run a couple plays and have Westbrook play off of him. Maybe Westbrook was like kind of standing in the corner waiting for Oladipo to do his thing like he used to do with Kevin Durant. So I wouldn't worry too much, and he'll fill up the box score in other ways if it's not happening on the offensive end.
One player that I've received a number of questions about already, people asking if they should drop, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Scored 4 points on 2 of 9 shooting, had 3 assists, nothing else in this game. But he still played 39 minutes. He still got decent number of shots.
I feel like that's been his thing in fantasy since he entered the league, right? He plays a ton of minutes with not a whole lot of numbers to show for it.
Yeah, I mean, he averaged 14.5 points, 3.5 rebounds, 1.8 assists, 1.5 steals last season. It's mostly just like he's
there,
present, and he plays a lot of games and he plays a lot of minutes.
But the thing is, I don't think that team is good enough to where, like, stats are going to fall into his lap.
Yeah.
You know, they have some, you know, when Reggie Jackson returns, they'll have very high usage players. They've got a lot going on at sort of the 3-4 spot. I think you can drop him. I wasn't very high on him to begin with.
I'm not ready to, like, my thing is, if you had this guy, if you drafted him, I'm not ready to drop him.
Day one is a little early.
Yeah. Like, I still think he can be one of those guys that just, like, you put him in your lineup and you just forget about it. Just forget about this game.
You wouldn't drop him for, like, Sergio or Tim Frazier?
I don't think so.
No? I probably would. I just don't know. I don't know what he gives you even when he is
getting
minutes. Like, three-pointers.
He's just kind of one of those guys that gives you a little bit of everything. But that's fair. I mean, it would be a tough decision between him and Sergio Rodriguez. I would want to see one more game, and you might not get a chance to see Sergio Rodriguez play one more game before you make the decision. So
true.
That's a tough one. Brandon Knight. I guess I'll say I'm a 2 on Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Okay. I'm 5. I'm fine dropping him.
Brandon Knight, 7 points, 1 rebound, 5 assists off the bench, 26 minutes. He did not shoot the ball well either. Panic-o-meter for Brandon Knight.
I believe in his talent, so I'm going to say more of like a 2. You know, it's kind of the same thing we saw before when Bledsoe's healthy and they've drafted, you know, Booker, and they have sort of aspirations for other guys, and Brandon Knight's just sort of that guy that has, they already know what he is, and they're going to play him when they have to. So that's a little discouraging, but you know, the talent's there. He'll figure it out, I think.
Jahlil Okafor. I'm a 2 on Brandon Knight. Yeah. Jahlil Okafor. 8 points, 3 rebounds, played 16 minutes off the bench. Where are you on Jahlil Okafor?
I mean, I'd say 2.5. Like, this is a little discouraging because Noel's not in the lineup.
Yeah.
And
again, he is on a minutes limit.
Last night, it was Embiid's night.
Yeah.
So, you know, when they're throwing the Embiid breakout palooza, you know, he's going to be a little bit of an afterthought. But
trust the process, Aru.
Yes.
Trust the process, Acella.
Is that a Bonnaroo?
Yeah,
they were making some sweet music last night. But Okafor, just even when he is good, he's kind of, you know, he scores and gets single-digit rebounds, and that's about all you can expect from him. So I'm not super excited about him to begin with. I definitely wouldn't drop him at this point, but
I might. I mean, we know, based on what Nerlens Noel has very publicly said, which I'm sure the 76ers brass isn't very happy about it, when he's basically demanding a trade publicly. You know, he said we have 3 centers. And there was no, like, talk of playing them together. It doesn't seem like that's an option here. If Embiid's going to play 20 to 22 minutes a night as his floor, is Okafor's ceiling, even when he's healthy, 26 until Noel gets back?
And in those 26 minutes, that's kind of what I mean. I mean, you're hoping for...
Yeah.
He's not like... So with Embiid, you're seeing this, like, per minute
blocks
production,
and,
which is ridiculous. With Okafor, it's more like he needs the ball. He, you know, like Valanciunas. If Valanciunas was this young, getting this few minutes, would you be super high on him?
Yeah.
It would be hard to, because he's just kind of a slower paced player who doesn't do a whole lot other than score and get a couple boards.
Yeah, I'm not sure who I'm dropping him for. Like, you know, I'm looking on the most added. Like, Bismack Biyombo's 55%. I'm probably not dropping him for Biyombo. I'm not dropping him for Hibbert. So I'm probably hanging on to him. Not dropping him for Mozgov, but I don't feel good about it right now.
No.
Kyle Lowry, 10, 5, 8, 38 minutes, 0 on the panic-o-meter.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
The other
He'll
two of
fine.
The big three had lots of points he didn't need to.
Emmanuel Mudiay, 11 points, 7 boards, 3 assists, 6 turnovers in 28 minutes. I'm going to say
not a good ratio.
2.5 to 3. Like, I don't know what you can do about it. It's only one game. I didn't draft him often. I didn't draft him high. I know he's a breakout candidate because of the pedigree and the skill set, but he struggled in the preseason. Turnovers remain an issue. He just, I don't know, this guy, it might take a couple more years. He's got all the opportunity. They're going to give him the ball. But
are they, like, I don't know enough about what the Nuggets hope to do. Like, are they trying to be relevant? Are they kind of embracing a rebuild? They're, like, kind of in limbo.
They're kind of floating. Like, they could go either way. If they wanted to trade Gallinari and Wilson Chandler and Fareed, they could do it right now and just go into full rebuild.
It seems to be the makes the most sense. Like, they're not, they could be like a scrappy 8 seed, I guess.
Yeah, they're kind of in the crew, they're just trying to thread that line of, like, competing. So, and developing the young guys. And
so you can do that. I think you can do that with your young front court. You can't do that with a young point guard. Like, if you want to shove him out and let him, you know, you shove him out of the nest and see if he can fly kind of thing, you know, it's going to be a tough situation for him because he's got other guys who can get it done.
He's just still really rough.
And he's super young and raw.
Just a lot of turnovers, bad shooting still.
I think you can get closer to parting with him in category league. In points league, don't worry about his inefficiency.
Yeah, I'm not dropping him.
Right.
It just...
Don't have a lot
worried.
Of faith.
Worried, yeah. Jokic, we talked about, played 21 minutes. My concern here is that even with him and Nurkic starting together, I'm worried there's going to be 48 minutes between the two of them. And however they, you know, one night it's Jokic getting 28, one night it's Nurkic, and it's just going to be, I'm worried it's going to be frustrating all season long.
And that's the thing, if the coaching staff lets them decide who dominates, I feel like Nurkic is going to dominate.
He's certainly got a more forceful personality. And Jokic is more,
That's his game, too. He's sort of a ball hog,
He's much more like a DeMarcus Cousins, whereas... Right.
Very confident.
Jokic is more of a Marc Gasol, tries to get people involved in the game.
But I think
he can be a little passive.
If the staff sees Jokic as sort of the more versatile, better player, which I think a lot of people sort of identify him as, then it could break his way. So the Nuggets are a pretty fluid situation. Yeah, here. I don't really know what to make of them.
That's my concern. Look, Jokic was being drafted in the third and fourth round this year.
I didn't get him in any league because I didn't quite see the fit being there for him. I definitely think he's talented, but there's with Nurkic there with just kind of like you said, Gallinari, Chandler.
Nurkic's got a lot of guys.
Right. They're going to need their minutes. A trade has to happen for these young guys to really break out.
I'm probably still a one on the panic meter. Probably not panicking yet, but it's definitely something I'm keeping an eye on.
I mean, you can find that trendy guy in your league who wants him, maybe trade him at some point once he has a good game. But he's a pretty trendy player.
Dario Saric played 27 minutes for the 76ers. He was just about the only thing that didn't go well for the 76ers in the Sam Hinkie statue game.
We're just calling this a lot of different things.
Dario Saric went...
It's an emotional night in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it was Hinkie-palooza.
There we go.
5 points, 7 boards, 2 assists on 27... in 27 minutes, only was 2 for 12 from the floor, 0 for 4 from 3. Honestly, when he didn't look awful, he was invisible. Like, you either couldn't tell he was on the floor or he was doing something bad. It was not a good night for Dario Saric.
And there's a lot going on to distract you as well.
Who is a breakout or a sleeper/breakout kind of guy.
I think so on this.
It's nice to see he got minutes.
It's going
to
be. I think his production is going to be inversely proportional to the point guard production because he's a good passer.
He's a playmaking
point forward kind of guy. The shooting is what's really discouraging because if he can't do that playmaking, kind of what else is he bringing you?
And he's someone that I think has been more of a shooter in theory.
Yeah,
so
I think
far.
He can make it, but he's not necessarily firing away with a high rate of success. I don't think.
Yeah, let me check his.
He's really interesting, and that's a bad team. So you can't panic too
much. He was a 40% 3-point shooter last season in Euroball, but he was 30% each of the previous two. He again more of a stretch four in theory than practice so far in his professional career, and obviously in his NBA career as well. Because you probably only needed to draft him in like the 11th or 12th round, he's a bench player. The upside is there. You knew Dario Saric was a long shot anyway. So I think you can wait. I don't think there's any reason to panic. It's not like you needed him. It's not like you probably didn't start him. It's not like you're like, oh crap, my lineup is screwed. You know, I'm a one here. I want to see what he can do.
That's why I was a little more worried about Brook Lopez, because, like, you know, you're looking at him as a high,
that definitely doesn't
very productive player on a bad team, and you know you took him in the fourth round or something. Like,
yeah, him having that kind of game feels a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's it.
So many stats.
So much to talk about. We've only had 13 games. It's a long season.
Yeah.
There's a lot to talk about. Hopefully we don't overreact too much to the first week. Honestly,
see what happens.
Like I said earlier, my best suggestion might just be to just watch the games. Don't worry about it. Don't do anything.
I think your drafts broke out to where at the end you either took guys with, you know, like Saric, who you were going to hang on to until they do something, or guys, you know, like somebody who is easily droppable quickly.
Anyone you took in the first 120 picks, just leave them. Just leave them be. Don't do anything with them. After that, you know, I guess I drafted Kyle Anderson late in a couple leagues. I'm going to drop him after this week, probably.
Yeah.
You know, the Spurs had four games. If he doesn't play well this week, I'm fine dropping him. There are guys like that, guys that were just like...
And on teams that you know aren't going to miss his production, they will move on without him and fill in the space. So other teams, guys, they might be banking on Saric to provide for them down the road. So it's hard to part ways with him.
All right. That's going to do it for Thursday's episode of the Fantasy Basketball Today podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Joe, you will not be here this weekend.
I won't, but I'll write a letter.
All right.
Maybe you can read it if you do one.
You're going on your bachelor party. I don't even know if I'll be able to read that letter.
It'll be concrete. Don't worry.
Well, have a good time, Joe.
Thanks.
And I'll be back. Maybe by myself. Maybe with some help. But I'll be here on Sunday to preview week two. And
just find a random person in the office.
Just pick someone up.
Put the headset on them. They're in the podcast. They didn't even know.
What's up, Scott?
Yeah, he could do it.
All right. We'll see you. Bye.